Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, unfortunately, another tough loss to talk about here for the Packers, 31-26 to the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday at Lambeau Field. And I guess you kind of start at the end, that being the Packers are rallying in the fourth quarter. The defense has the Colts in 3rd and 10, deep in their own territory with 3 minutes to go. You get Ha-Ha Clinton Dix coming scot-free on a blitz, and you just feel like, boy, if you can get the sack, make the stop right there, and Aaron Rodgers gets the ball one more time, maybe three quarters of sluggish football gets wiped from the books, and the Packers maybe pull this thing out.
Yeah, especially the way that the offense was moving the ball at that point in time. It was, in many ways, kind of like the Falcons game, where it's just like, if you could just get the ball back to them to see what they can do with it. But, you know, how it ends up turning out, Mike, is it wasn't quite enough. And I thought afterwards, Devonta Adams, talking about the loss in the locker room, summed it up best. He's like, you know, the clock's eventually going to run out, and they didn't put themselves in a position, particularly in that first half, to be able to climb out of that early hole. I mean, just different things went against them. The one thing that was interesting about that play, though, the one area had been really consistent for them had been those third and long situations.
Yep.
You know, the Colts did have success, 7-14 in third down situations, but it just seemed like the instances in which the Packers could get some negative yardage plays, could get some stops, they were able to finish those drives out. And in that particular case, Clinton Dix, you know, he said he didn't want to go low on him because of the emphasis with you know,
sure, the rules penalties. and the flags and whatnot.
But when you're going you're going high on a 6'4", 240-pound cornerback, it's difficult. And certainly luck stood in there, found Jack Doyle, and that was kind of the beginning of the end.
Yeah, I really thought there were two third downs in the game that really hurt the defense. The 3rd and 10 there at the end when Clinton Dix had a chance at a sack. And then late in the first half, the Colts have 3rd and 9, I believe it was, on their own 5-yard line.
Yeah.
Where the Packers are looking at, okay, you maybe get the ball back there. You could possibly score before half. You're getting the ball coming out of halftime, sort of that double-up scenario that Mike McCarthy likes, which is why he likes to defer when he wins the coin toss. They convert the 3rd and 9 from their own 5-yard line, and a few minutes later, the next thing you know, it's a 96-yard touchdown drive, and the Packers are going in down 14 at halftime. Just a huge turn of events at the end of the first half.
That was one of the biggest comments from, you know, the defensive players in the locker room, is just how that was kind of an area where they wish they could have that back, and how that can kind of tilt the field. Because, yeah, as you said, Mike, if you can get a stop there, well, then they can play that double-up game that worked well for them in Atlanta in terms of being able to get some more points before halftime and getting the ball coming out in the third quarter. Packers actually were able to move the ball pretty well in that opening series of the third quarter, but then it ends with the interception to Darius Butler.
Right.
So not only do the Colts have the chance to strike last and take the 2-score lead, Green Bay can't answer. And I think there are a lot of positives to draw out of that fourth quarter. Obviously, the Packers moved the ball really well in those two series in a matter of only 6 minutes. But when you're that far behind, and especially giving up that 1 score to Frank Gore that put the Colts ahead 31-13, your back's really up against the wall there, and you can't have any areas of mistakes going forward. And unfortunately for the Packers, they just couldn't get that extra stop to really be able to get the ball back to their offense.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even we have to be fair here that even if the Packers had managed to pull off this fourth quarter comeback down 31-13, as you said, they know that they can't play the way they played in the first 3 quarters. You can't play like that going forward, especially against a team that's below 500. Now, we talked about the Colts being a borderline desperate team.
They
had to have this win as badly as the Packers needed it, and the Colts were able to get it. But just through the first 3+ quarters, the Packers did not play anywhere close to the way they had played in the second half against the Bears, and really for the bulk of the game against a really, really talented Atlanta Falcons team on the road. Just the execution from 1 week to the next, really different here for the Packers, and that's concerning.
Randall Cobb said it too. I mean, it just was a sense of desperation. Not in so much terms of panic, but in terms of just, okay, we have no other option right now other than to move to football and be able to put some points on the board. They were able to accomplish that. But, you know, and you wrote about it, you know, in your game story and also with your editorial. it just comes down to that energy. And the Packers and Aaron Rodgers said it point blank. They just didn't feel like there was enough energy going into that game. Now you give up a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to Jordan Tottman. That's not going to help matters.
Right.
But in general, as Rodgers said, you come back out and you get a field goal. It's 7-3. You're still, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's the first quarter.
Yeah.
It's the first quarter of a 7-3 game. It's like, that's football.
Yeah, and it just, yeah. They weren't able to get their foot on the gas pedal early on. They eventually found it. But, you know, against a team like Indianapolis that, as Andrew Luck, everybody in their locker room said it, this was a critical game for them in their season.
Yeah.
That sense of urgency was with them, and they're not going to lay down. And certainly the Green Bay Packers just weren't able to come back and pull it out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, plenty more to break down from this 5-point loss to the Colts at Lambeau Field. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, you mentioned it towards the end of the first segment, the way the game started, that 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. I think that's an example of, in some ways, where this Packers team is right now. And what I mean by that is this Packers team does not seem to have much margin for error. And when you allow a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, you allow a 61-yard kickoff return that leads to a field goal. You have a couple of deep balls with guys open, one that's just out of Jordy Nelson's reach and another that should have been caught by Jeff Janis. We've seen Packers teams in the past be able to overcome those momentary failures and still pull out ball games. And this team, whether it's the injuries, other situations, circumstances, everything that's going on in 2016, the margin for error just isn't big enough for this team. They can't afford to make those kinds of mistakes and still pull out wins.
Yeah, it's a tough one too, Mike, because I don't know if that's necessarily anything that the Packers are doing wrong. It's just kind of the way that things are. And it just seems like, yeah, looking at that first, you know, kickoff in particular, Mason Crosby, as he said, it just kind of hovered up there a little bit, didn't get far enough to the numbers that he needed to get on that kickoff that was designed to go right. One lane opens up, Tottman finds the seam and the kicker to beat. You're going to like those odds every time. And certainly from the perspective of the offense, and that's probably the thing that was most startling to me when I went back afterwards and just looked through the stat sheet. They did hit Luck 8 times. They held Gore to 3.2 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Another game underneath 100 total rushing yards. The Packers won the passer rating differential. You know, Rodgers
by
had
20
a
points.
20-point
yep.
Advantage over Luck. So a lot of the areas that the Packers want to win, they actually accomplished in this game. But what does it come down to? It comes down to that margin for error. It comes down to the little things, the special teams plays. You get the interception from Ha Clinton Dix. You're not able to put any points on the board from that.
Yep.
Those are all things that ultimately decide a win and a loss. And you know, for the Indianapolis Colts, although the door was left open there late, the cushion that they built up, you got to give them credit for that. And certainly on the road, being able to take the home crowd away is the way to do it. And it was enough room for them to pull it out.
Yeah, defensively, this game started much the way the Packers would have wanted it to. You mentioned Ha Ha Clinton Dix, and we've been talking about him a lot already. He gets two interceptions in the first quarter, and but the first one, he returns it, I believe, to the 29-yard line of Indianapolis. Now, in that situation, the defense is thrilled to be able to get the stop and force a field goal and get off the field with only 3 points being scored. But not only did the Colts get the stop, then the field goal by Crosby is missed from 48 yards. That's a huge victory for the Colts to get out of
it at the 38.
To get out of that. To get out of that with no points being scored. Then the Packers do capitalize on the second interception by Clinton Dix and get a touchdown and get within 14-10. But then, as we talked about, the 96-yard drive at the end of the first half, you go into halftime, you're winning the turnover battle 2-0, and you're down by 14 points. It was just one of those games that, as you said, the special teams, the little things, are really what added up to a bad equation for Green Bay here.
Defensively, it was a bizarre game too. As you said, you got the two interceptions from Clinton Dix in the first quarter. They got the sack from him and Nick Perry combined in the second quarter. There were a lot of stops in this game, But there were also a lot of long drives. It was really a feast or famine type contest
for
the Colts. And, you know, they come back in the second half. They didn't touch the ball much, but they were able to get the six-play, 66-yard touchdown series that was capitalized by Gore's second touchdown. And that was the 18-point advantage. That's all they really needed. So you got to give credit to the Colts for being able to capitalize on those opportunities and be able to sustain the drives when they needed to. But the way that Green Bay pulled themselves back into it, again, it just comes back to if you could have gotten one stop here or there, you could have, you know, made this play. That's how narrow that kind of window is and why you need to capitalize on it. And I think that's probably the thing that Green Bay, now looking forward and having to go on the road for three straight weeks, that they're going to be thinking about is, what do we have to do to eliminate those small windows and be sure to keep the momentum on your side throughout?
Yeah, and the energy issue that you brought up in the first segment, Aaron Rodgers talked about it a lot. Players in the locker room also mentioned it. I have to confess, I mean, being up in the press box, we're enclosed at Lambeau Field behind the windows and stuff. I don't have any kind of a sense of what the energy is like on the sideline with the players and with the team. You know, we can kind of, you know, feel the crowd a little bit, but we're even insulated from that somewhat. But it really was kind of the storyline of the comments after the game, that the players felt, for whatever reason, the juice, the energy just wasn't there. And Rodgers was asked, well, does, you know, giving up a 99-yard kickoff return to start the game, does that have an impact? Of course it does. He says, yeah, that doesn't hurt, but you have to be tougher than that. You have to be mentally tougher than that, and not let one play at the beginning of a game deflate you. Just interesting. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on the energy issue and how the Packers could come out in a game like this and have everybody afterwards talking about the lack of energy.
Yeah, and that typically isn't something you see from the Packers, especially at home. That tends to not be an issue. I mean, we've seen so many times, we've even laughed about, you know, when LaTroy Guyon and, you know, Mike Daniels are getting these guys revved up before games and just how into it they seem to be. Again, as Rodgers said, he doesn't know what the reason was, and it would be difficult to speculate on what exactly plays into it.
But
certainly, when you look at how things played out at the beginning of the contest, just a lot of different things moving in separate directions. I just thought offensively, you know, they were trying to, I thought they got a good boost right off the bat. You know, Ty Montgomery gets that 24-yard carry, his first snap after missing that game against Atlanta. There were positives. Montgomery said that they did have some momentum in their favor during that first touchdown producing series that ended in the 26-yard score from Rodgers to Nelson for the 52nd time in their career together. There were things to kind of build their hat on, but it just wasn't consistent enough, and ultimately, you're going to need that consistency if you're going to pull yourself out of adverse situations right off the bat.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll keep breaking down this Packers-Colts decision at Lambeau Field. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, I don't like to be a silver lining guy necessarily, but I'll call it the reality check of the day. For everything that's gone wrong here for the Packers, they did not want to be 4-4 at the halfway point. It's not what this team expected, they certainly believe they should be in better shape than that. But at the end of the day, you were one game out of first place when you lost to the Minnesota Vikings in Week 2. And you're one game out of first place today.
Right.
Now, it's a mess with the Vikings at 5-3 on a 3-game losing streak. The Lions are at 5-4, having won 4 of their last 5 games. And now the Packers are at 4-4 on a 2-game losing streak with a 3-game road swing here coming up. But the bottom line is, this division is completely up for grabs with 8 games to go. And as Aaron Rodgers said, you know, they know they have another shot at the Vikings on Christmas Eve. They have another shot at the Lions in Week 17, those last 2 games. But the Packers have to put themselves in a position to be able to have meaningful conversations about those last 2 games, and that's what these next few games are going to be all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rodgers said it, too, in his post-game news conference, is that it might just be one of those years in the NFC North where, I mean, we saw it in 2013. I doubt there was a lot of people that thought 8-7-1 would be enough to win the division. And it happened to be just that. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. Certainly the Vikings have a lot of things to figure out. A pretty demoralizing loss at home to Detroit being able to not only get the 58-yard field goal, but then also march down and score on the opening series, the touchdown to end it in sudden death. So this is going to be something now for the Packers. I think they're really going to have to, as you know, come together in terms of this is a difficult time. And certainly you're having your first back-to-back losses of the season. Now you go on the road. But you know, Devontae Adams said it too. He's like, we've won on the road. We expect to win on the road. We should win on the road. So they don't look at this as, okay, well, we lost at home twice in the first eight games, so now our season's over. No, they look at it, this is an opportunity for them to go and now kind of maybe build momentum in a different way. But there's certainly a lot of things that have to get taken care of. And, I mean, Rodgers touched on quite a few of them. There's a lot of things that this group needs to figure out if they're going to be successful now in this next month.
Yeah, it's certainly a cliche that you take it one week at a time, one game at a time. And I think it almost becomes even that much more of a focus in this situation. You can't look at the fact that you're going on the road three straight games. All you look at is you're going to Nashville, Tennessee, right, and there's a ball game that you have to win. And there's really no other way to look at it. Now, we look at we look ahead, because we're allowed to do that.
Right.
The next week, you're going to Washington, a place that you won in the playoffs in January last year. Then you're going to Philadelphia, a team that has suddenly kind of hit the skids after a fast start. They're 4-4 right now, just like the Packers are. Who knows where they will be in a couple of weeks. It's still all right out in front of the Packers. Now, I know a lot of fans are not optimistic right now. Two straight losses. The team is 4-4. This team hasn't been 4-4 at the midway point since 2009. So the fans don't feel good about it, but everything is right in front of the Packers. And as you and I have talked about so many times, it's a week-to-week league. You can generate some momentum out of nothing in this league sometimes, and we just have to see if the Packers can do it.
You wrote about it too, Mike. 4-4, and then 2009, and they end up winning 7 of their last 8.
They went 7-1 after that.
And it ends up, you know, that's a good record. I think a lot of people would take 11-5 on a season and be able to establish that momentum. If you're going to have to pick between the two of them, that's probably what you want to have to do. But you have to make the necessary corrections. Rodgers talked about it. You know, they may not have a normal, for lack of a better term, normal running game until James Starks is back. But they still need to find ways to score rushing touchdowns, you know, other than his two this year, still looking for their first by a running back. There's going to be things they're going to have to do more unorthodox, especially until they get Cook and Starks and some of these guys back on offense. But everything's still out there in front of them. There's opportunities here to be able to establish some momentum. If the Packers can get through this month still with a winning record, well, then you get the going back in your favor and you have an opportunity with three straight division games to end the season. A lot of things still need to be shuffled out, but certainly the corrections have to start right now.
Yeah, for sure. And before we throw it to our last break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business here. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment, we'll touch briefly on the Packers' health situation. The good news was that Quentin Rollins and Randall Cobb both came back and were healthy enough to play on Sunday, Cobb playing late in the game after sitting out during the first half. The bad news was Clay Matthews was not back, even though last week he sounded like a guy who was planning on being out there. It didn't work out. We don't really know the specifics of that to this point, but, you know, and I hate to sound like a broken record, even though I know I do, but when you look at the fact that the Colts had, you know, been leading the league in sacks allowed and the Packers' pass rush only ends up getting 2 sacks in a game without Clay Matthews, this defense needs number 52. They just need to get him back out there.
Yeah, they do. And I think you got to respect the Packers because they understand that, and they understand how valuable he's going to be to this stretch run. So, I mean, you got to be patient. As much as, you know, he probably wants to be out there, as much as they want to have him out there, there's so many things that go into that. So for him to get back healthy is the number one priority for them. He's already had, you know, one hamstring injury that limited him against, I think it kept him out against Detroit. So that's first and foremost. But looking at the positive signs of it, you finally do get some relief at cornerback with, you know, Quentin Rollins getting on the field. Demetri Goodson passed out. He was able to get through the concussion protocol, so he was actually active as well. James Starks, Jared Cook returning to practice. So hopefully those guys are on the horizon. And Randall Cobb being able to play in this game, 33 snaps in the second half alone. Thought he really had a nice performance, all things considered. Didn't really seem like anybody knew what to expect of Cobb going into this thing. He got cleared to play before the game.
Yeah, we watched him working out on the field, you know, a few hours before kickoff there, and you know, weren't really sure which way it was going to go at that point. But he, you know, he got the thumbs up and was able to contribute there in the second half.
Yeah, so if him and Rollins both got through this, you know, avoiding any type of aggravation or whatsoever, I mean, that's positive for them right now. And those guys are going to be stronger the next week going forward. But that's the biggest key. I mean, especially on offense, Aaron Rodgers talked about it. It's difficult to forge an identity when you have so many, you know, jumbled pieces right now. And if they could start getting some of these guys together, I think you could finally start to see what this offense is all about.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see as the week goes along here. You mentioned James Starks and Jared Cook coming back to practice last week. You would imagine as long as they didn't have any setbacks, their practice regimen would maybe ramp up a little bit this week. Now, does that mean they'll be playing in Nashville, or will it be more likely Washington or Philadelphia? We'll just have to see. But you got to believe Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense as a whole will be pretty happy when these guys get back.
Well, they're getting all these personnel, you know, these matchups are working for them, and they're finding success with it. But you also want to get back to your core players, the guy that you built the season around. Jared Cook was one of those guys, and if you get back him out there, I think that's another piece that could really help them in the second half of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Well, we'll be able to continue talking about that as the week progresses, but we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. He's at Wes Hodd on Twitter. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.